Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Managing editor of WSHU Public Radio in the United States joins me now. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
Now, there's so much going on at the moment. Much of it centered around Donald Trump. His latest difficulty, more for his organization rather than himself initially, is the fact that his accountant in the Trump organization has pleaded guilty to tax fraud.
Yes. Well, Alan Weisenberg is actually the chief financial officer, or was the chief financial officer of the Trump organization. Yesterday, he pleaded guilty as part of a plea deal to 15 felony counts, including conspiracy, criminal tax fraud, grand larceny, and falsifying business records. He pleaded guilty basically to taking money and not reporting it to the IRS. The interesting thing about this plea deal, which may or may not have implications for Trump himself, is that as part of a second trial in the state of New York, these are state charges against the Trump organization itself, prosecutors had hoped that Weisselberg would cooperate with the investigation. He's not going to do that. However, he is required to testify against Trump. So basically, that would be like he was not telling them where to look, but if he's asked where things are, he has to say it. The other thing is that he's only getting a very, very short prison time, 5 months. He does have to pay a little bit under $2 million back to the state.
Yeah. Now, he won't be sentenced finally until after the other investigation is complete and the other trial. So if he doesn't deliver the goods for them at that trial, his sentence may well increase.
Oh, it could increase to up to 10 years. He's 74 years old, and that was part of the deal that, given that he was a member of the National Guard and supported it, that should be taken into account. Not so much if it's if he lies, and that's the big thing. If he's not truthful or doesn't answer questions that are put to him, that's where he can get into trouble. He doesn't have to be happy about testifying, but he does have to answer the questions truthfully. Yeah.
Now, other matters, Trump, the CCTV of the agents going through his stuff in Mar-a-Lago, they couldn't stop him. They asked him to switch the CCTV off, or his people, and they said no, they were perfectly within their rights to leave it running. The FBI obviously don't want their agents facially identified, and Trump is being advised by some of his acolytes to release this. He hasn't so done yet.
Again, Trump is playing and not sure what the exact strategy is. He's getting involved in some aspects of the aftermath. You know, he wanted he didn't himself release the search warrant, but he called for it to be released. He's calling for, you know, the FBI and calling them out. One of the things that was interesting yesterday is that media organizations went to a federal judge and they want the affidavit that was made to the judge to issue the search warrant made public. Now, yesterday, the judge ordered the Department of Justice to redact the affidavit and send it to him by next Thursday, and then he'll decide whether he will release it to the public. Trump has not gotten involved. He had lawyers in court for that yesterday, but they didn't participate. They were just there as observers. The fear is that even if your name is blacked out, it could become obvious pretty soon who was working with the FBI and who was working with the Department of Justice and tipped them off that something was going on in that room with the boxes.
Now, Mike Pence made a speech, and I watched a bit of it, where he's saying the Republican Party upholds law and order, da-da-da-da, but of course we want transparency about the Justice Department. It did seem like a pre-presidential run.
Absolutely. He made the speech in New Hampshire, and he called on fellow Republicans to stop criticizing the FBI. I mean, again, I shouldn't say that. Stop threatening the FBI. Stop saying that they want to defund the FBI and that don't put agents in jeopardy. They are just doing their jobs. He's trying to carve out a niche in the Republican Party for those who are tired of both Trump and perhaps Trumpism. Still, Mike Pence is a very conservative evangelical Christian. That's something that he has run on in the past. He's trying to carve that niche out to bring integrity back to the Republican Party.
And that brings us to Liz Cheney, who was defeated by a pro-Trump lawyer that nobody really knows much about, certainly on this side of the pond. But she is saying she will do anything to stop this man getting back into the Oval Office. So yeah. Will she attempt to run?
She has floated that balloon. Now, again, she was not only defeated, she lost in a landslide, which is not all that's it's surprising that the Cheneys are a political power in Wyoming. Not surprising given the nature of the country right now. She has floated that she is considering it. So political scientists are wondering, how would that work? Would she run as an independent? Well, that could put Trump back into office. Would she try to get the Republican nomination? Perhaps, but given the way that the Republican Party has morphed over the past 6 years, that seems to be highly unlikely. Would she run as a Democrat? Well, Democrats, although they are praising her for her stand against Trump and her principled stand against Trump now, she is very, very conservative in that traditional sense. So she's going to be a player over the next 2 years. She's still on the January 6th committee through the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see what role she does ultimately take.
By the way, on Weisselberg, the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, the Trump family came out and praised him yesterday in spite of his conviction and his plea. So you wonder, are they saying, look, Dad is going to be president again in 2024, you'll have a pardon. So no matter what you do, you'll be out in jig time.
Not necessarily, because these are state charges. The president, whatever president, has no authority to pardon or to issue clemency on state charges. Okay. So it might be more or less along the line that this is what the narrative that the Trump family is trying to push, is that he pleaded guilty because he's being persecuted. Okay. He's an old man, and doing 4 months in jail, 5 months in jail, is better than doing 10 years.
Now, there are other stories stateside. Three people are charged with the murder of Whitey Bulger.
Absolutely. And the question here is, Whitey Bulger was murdered in prison in 2018. If you remember, he was confined to a wheelchair, and three men were seen, pulling the wheelchair into a corner and basically beat him to death beyond recognition. The three suspects who were arrested or charged yesterday were always considered to be suspects. And in fact, one of them was put into solitary confinement immediately after. The question is, why did it take 4 years for these charges to go through? And the, and prosecutors are not saying why, whether it was that they had to gather evidence, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt or what. But that's the question. Why did it take 4 years? Mm.
And the final story, which tells us a lot about the modern American penal system, is the Kids for Cash scandal, which is an extraordinary story.
Oh, this is in Pennsylvania, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. And this points, as you said, this points to something that has been discussed and discussed, you know, as is this a good idea? Is this a good road that we want to go down? And that is the private prison system, where states are getting out of the prison business and they're subcontracting it out to companies who are obviously looking for a profit. Now, there were two judges in Luzerne County who dismantled the state facility. You know, they closed it, but then were sending kids to these for-profit prisons. Because they were underage, this is in juvenile court, which has a completely different set of rules and regulations. He sent them off to prison, these two judges. They received over $2 million in kickbacks. And a lot of times he sent them to this prison without notifying the family or having the family present in court or without having lawyers present in court. So they are both, one is still in jail for this. One was released on these charges or he's been confined to home. But yesterday they were ordered to pay restitution, about $1,000 to each of the 2,300 children who were affected. But here's the thing, they have no money, so this might be a hollow victory.
All right, Terry, thank you very much for joining us. Managing editor of WSHU Public Radio in the United States, Terry Sheridan.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh! There it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.